One of these days, listeners of the Mighty 790 KFGO, I promise you it will be a decent winter's day, although if you got through this past week with the way Thursday was and the way that some weather was and a big car pileup or multiple car crash on the I-94, winter is just not leaving us anytime soon, it appears. Doug Lear of the North Dakota Game and Fish Department, quickly becoming an apparent co-host of Mike McFeely Outdoors. But this winter, we talked about it last week.
Yeah.
We just can't get out of the pattern. It's mid-February. It's supposed to be 35 out now, isn't it?
And even when we get out of it, it's such a narrow window. When you talk about the way this week, it was like Terry Spee's forecast on Wednesday is going to be okay. And then boom, Thursday morning, you wake up and you're right back. You had like 6 hours of enjoyment and you're right back in it. And not to go beyond health and human safety, but it's really been a punch to the gut to wildlife. I mean, that's I worry about myself, my friends, and the people that are in accidents on the Red River Bridge and the people that are struggling through it. And then once everybody's okay, then you start going, this has been just a tough winter on wildlife.
It has, and we whine as human beings because we want it to be warm and we want to get outside and more grass and play golf or go fishing in open water or do whatever, spring snow goose hunt, whatever you want to do. But you're right, if you're a critter living outdoors, you can start to see it now because the wild turkeys in Oakport Township, they're darn near knocking on my door now.
I heard that.
Just darn near every day.
Tuesday morning or something?
Well, they're there every day, though.
It's, oh, okay.
Now it's become, okay. I'm part of the rotation where they walk around looking for food. And that, you know, I'm expecting to start to see deer and stuff in my yard because it's usually this time of the year when the other critters start to make their way to underneath my bird feeders as well. But that always shows to me that it's getting late in the year and that it might be a little tough out in the woods for the turkeys.
Do you feel sorry for them, though, legitimately?
No. I'm a believer in biology and survival of the fittest and Darwinism and all those things. They've evolved for millions of years to be where they are, so they know what to do to survive.
And as much as I love animals and I love wildlife, it's the same thing. I try to explain to people that the mindset that all animals are supposed to be smile. It's the Bambi mindset.
It's the we can blame Walt Disney.
Oh gosh, can we ever? Absolutely. And you take that, I don't want to just, you know, focus in on that, but you take that in from Walt Disney to naming of animals and, you know, giving all these pet names to the turkeys that you see out in your backyard. And then when something bad happens to Rufus or whatever you name your turkey, you know, that just perpetuates that human association to animals and wildlife. And I don't like to see animals suffer. I don't like to see animals suffer needlessly. But I also understand, and I've said it for years and years, that people and society need to realize that nature is rated R. Just by the way nature functions in a circle, is nature is going to include death and starvation and disease. And for us to think that the robin that made a choice to stick around this winter is not going to get eaten by a great horned owl is totally wrong. I appreciate what people think, but I got text messages on Sunday from, there's a robin out here and it's sticker out. Is there something we can do for it? I'm like, why? You know,
there's not. I mean, go pick it up and put it in a cage in your house if you want to torture it.
Right.
I mean, otherwise nature's going to take its course. It's either going to survive or it's not.
And
just like everything else in nature.
And the animals that survive will have stronger genetic potential for the next generations, which over the course of time is why when you take us removed from the winter of 96, 97, some 15, 17 years, there's my Lemoore math. What is it? 15 years, 17 years? Gosh, it's not Lemoore's fault. It's my fault. It's not my teacher's fault.
You were looking out the window at all the wildlife outside the window in Lemoore, so you weren't paying attention in math
class. Exactly. But we should not experience as severe of an impact this winter as we did in 96, 97, not just genetically, but we just haven't had as much snow. That's saving grace.
There's not even close to the amount of snow that there was in 90. It's just been cold. It's been a steady cold and just small windows, as you said, of decent weather. And that's, so as humans, we think it's the worst winter ever, but really, if you drive south of Hankinson,
yeah,
there's no snow. There's very little snow.
Or go out to central North Dakota.
Yes, yes.
Go out to Bismarck and Burley County, and you get west of Jamestown, and the lack, I won't say lack of snow, but there's significantly less snow than what we've got in the Red River Valley.
Speaking of Great Horned Owls, you mentioned in the program, I think either last week or the week before, Doug, how much you like seeing owls in the woods or in shelter belts.
Yep.
MB Johnson Park had Rudy the Rescue Dog up there walking around on a last Saturday morning, I think it was, all by ourselves in the woods, and for sure out of a tree, a great horned owl silently glides out of one tree to another tree.
Really?
And oh yeah, just really cool.
What
just,
did Rudy
just
think?
Really cool. He was too busy chasing squirrels, so he didn't quite see it. He just about got one this time.
Really?
His nose was getting tickled by the squirrel's tail.
Really?
Because the squirrel was spinning its wheels in the puffy snow, and it was like 2 feet in front of me. It was hilarious to see. I mean, Rudy rousted up a squirrel out of a, it was digging for nuts or something in the snow, and the thing just, he starts just spinning its wheels like trying to get out of a mud hole, and poor Rudy, his little short little legs, he was spinning his wheels, and it was happening in slow motion right in front of me. It was like moving a mile an hour. Right in front of me. It was just hilarious. Squirrel got away, got into a brush pile, and it was fine.
I don't remember. It was a few weeks prior to this. We had a couple of squirrels in a tree, and there was a Cooper's hawk that was trying to get the squirrels. And this legitimately was going on for probably 5 to 10 minutes, and the squirrels would go around one way, and the Cooper's hawk would die. But I had to try to get it. And I made a wrong choice, and I'll admit that. I should have just let nature take its course. One thing, the Cooper's hawk came at the window and perched on top of the house, and I was like, man, get out of here. I just wanted the Cooper's hawk gone. So I took my phone, and I pulled up a coyote howl on my phone.
Oh, look at you using technology.
And put that out the door, and Cooper's hawk went bye-bye.
Now, if you have bird feeders, and I'm not a big-time bird feeder, but if you have bird feeders in your backyard around here, if you keep an eye out, you will see Cooper's hawks hanging around the trees or, as you said, on the roof of a garage.
Yep.
Because they know that those chickadees and, woodpeckers
finches
and nuthatches
and
finches and blue jays, they show up at bird feeders, and it's easy. It's like going to a buffet for a Cooper's hawk. When we had a house in Village Green several years ago, I had a number of bird feeders in my backyard and a heated bird bath. And so I had all kinds of different birds in my backyard. And we had a couple of pine trees back there, and those Cooper's hawks really like pine trees because they can kind of hide in the boughs or boughs or whatever you call them. And so that thing, I bet he must have picked off 2, 3, 4 birds that I know of in my backyard. And that's fine. I mean, it's fine. He's just taking advantage of what the opportunity was for him.
But that's the exact same kind of circle that we're talking about when you were mentioning the turkeys in Oakport Township and the turkeys throughout the Fargo, West Fargo, metro areas. We have turkeys. And then we end up having coyotes in the metropolitan. Mm-hmm. We're not the only people. That's one thing that I constantly have to reaffirm. Coyotes are in urban environments all over Tar Nation. Everywhere there's coyotes, and it's just a function. Like, it's the same thing, reason why you have Cooper's hawks and great horned owls gathered near bird feeders, and those coyotes come into towns because there's food. That it comes down to food, and they acclimate and they can tolerate people as long as they're getting food.
Red fox also are more common than you think they are.
Cool.
Now, I saw two of them on the outskirts of Moorhead.
Yeah.
On a moonlit night one day, driving home late at night, and there was two fox out in a field about 50 yards from the road, kind of hopping around, jumping around. So I didn't know if they were playing or if they were mousing or what they were doing, but I stopped and watched them in the moonlight for a while. It was kind of cool. Also, got to take a break here, but also, Bloomington, Minnesota, a couple of years ago, half a mile from the International Airport in Minneapolis-St. Paul, like a block off of 494, one of the busiest roads in the upper Midwest, about 2 o'clock in the morning, got off a late flight. Red fox walking across the middle of a road right in the middle of 494. I mean, so they're there. They're opportunists. There's food there. I'm going to go where there's food.
Just like we think it's abnormal. To the animals, it's survival.
You bet. Doug Lear with us on Mike McFeely Outdoors. Behind my break, need to take a break. Speaking of tough things on wildlife and trying to make things easier for wildlife, the Minnesota DNR has announced it's going to feed deer in the northern part of the state, the Arrowhead region up around that area, because there is more snow in that area than there is around here. I'll get Doug's take on the feeding of deer in Minnesota and offer my uninformed, non-biologist opinion of trying to feed deer to try to keep them alive in Minnesota. I hope you can tell by my laughing that I think it's a foolish idea. But we'll talk next on Mike McKee. It's a good thing.
Maine makes corn.